We're continuing in a series today called The Holy Spirit that we started last week. And as I mentioned last week, this is one of the most important topics we could ever talk about because the Holy Spirit is the source of our confidence in Christ, our character in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, and our communion with God, like being able to communicate with God, not just us pray to Him and we never know if He's listening, you know, but actually to have God speak to us, and we know that that's God, and to build this relationship with Him in a very real, supernatural way. And so I talked about last week, the Holy Spirit is one of the, you know, greatest sources of, you know, disagreement and even potentially divisiveness in the church at large, different kinds of churches from church to church, down through the ages, really since the book of Acts. And so because it's supernatural, you know, it's unseen and it's foreign, especially to people who don't have the Holy Spirit, who don't have faith in Jesus, you know, this is really where the rubber meets the road. And it's difficult to understand, even for people who do believe in Jesus and have the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we're doing this series, to bring unity, to bring clarity. I don't want to tell you what I think. I want to show you what Scripture says. And so that's what this series is all about. And I think one of the biggest sources of disagreement from church to church and from Christian to Christian in our culture is what we're going to talk about today, which is the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. That's where we're going to be today. And before we dive in, I just want to define what I mean by spiritual gift. Let me say it this way. I want to define what Scripture means when it says spiritual gift, okay? And this word is used all over the New Testament. It's in Greek, written in Greek. The whole New Testament is a little Aramaic sprinkled in. But this is Greek. The word spiritual gift in Greek is charisma. Charisma, okay? And here's what it means. It's charismata, plural. This is where we get the term charismatic church. A charismatic church does not specifically mean a church that hoots and hollers and gets shakes and falls down and rolls on the floor and smacks people in the forehead, you know, and says, "Be healed!" You know, like those churches are charismatic. But very simply, charismatic just means you believe in the spiritual gifts and you practice them, all right? That's all that means. And so I would consider us a charismatic church. And here's what charisma means, spiritual gift, okay? An endowment of supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, so a gift of the Spirit, which enables Christians to serve the church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. It's the grace gift of God. It says in Scripture, when Jesus rose from the dead, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. And there's many, many other scriptures that talk about not just the gift of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself is called the gift. We're talking about the gifts, supernatural power to do things you couldn't do before, the gifts of the gift. Okay, does that make sense? So when you believe in Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you, but the Holy Spirit's going to give you gifts. Okay, this is what, by the way, Scripture was talking about, what Jesus was talking about at Pentecost. Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Okay, after he rose from the dead, he breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They received the Holy Spirit in them because they believed in the resurrection, right? But this is, Pentecost is when the Spirit comes on you in power, endowing you with gifts. It's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. That's what Pentecost was all about. The spiritual gifts, which are given in power to Christians to be able to do what God's called them to do, okay? The word power there in Acts 1:8 literally means supernatural power to do things you could not do, to do miraculous things. And as we're going to see today, all the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. So at Acts 1:8, they speak in tongues. That's a gift of the Spirit. It's a supernatural thing. Peter stands up, and he has all of a sudden, in that moment, supernatural insight into Joel 2, and he's like, "Oh my goodness, this is happening right now." That's prophetic insight, okay? And wisdom and knowledge and a teaching gift. Boom, he receives it. Boom, he stands up and goes, no, these men aren't drunk as you suppose, right? Again, it's supernatural. It can seem kind of weird to people who don't know what's going on, right? These men aren't drunk as you suppose. No, here's what's happening. Joel 2, he preaches a short sermon 3,000 people accept Jesus, right? He's operating in the gifts the Spirit gave him, boom, in that moment. And so it's the Spirit pouring out. And Joel 2 says, in those days, the last days, and we're still in the last days, okay, nothing has changed. I will pour out my Spirit on all people, okay? And so that's what Scripture says, that's what God says. And so that's what a spiritual gift is. And so now let's dive into 1 Corinthians 12. And this is what it says. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." And so he's wanting them to be more aware and to bring clarity to what he means by these spiritual gifts. It's interesting. Last week we looked at Acts 19, where Paul rolls up in Ephesus and there's a bunch of Christians there who'd never even heard of the Holy Spirit, right? And he's like, "Oh my goodness, did you receive the Spirit when you believed?" They're like, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit, right? And he's like, "Well, that's not good." And so he tells them about Jesus, they get baptized, and then he lays hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit in power, like they did at Pentecost, the giving of the gifts and whatnot, right? Now he's writing this church in Corinth, and if you read the letter to the church in Corinth, this church was very experienced in spiritual gifts. In fact, they, especially the more supernatural ones, right? Like speaking in tongues or healing or some of the weirder ones, if you will, because they're more supernatural, the prophetic. That's like all they did. In fact, it got to the point where they were just being weird, okay? And that, like this is my paraphrase of what Paul's writing to them. Stop being weird, guys, right? Like, y'all have the Holy Spirit, you're doing spiritual gift things, that's awesome. But listen, he says this later on in the book. Like, if all you do is sit there and speak in tongues, right? Then when new people come in and you're speaking in other languages, they're going to think you're out of your mind, right? Because nobody's standing up and explaining what's going on. Nobody's standing up and teaching about Jesus, guys, right? He's like, that's not good. He's like, don't forbid that stuff. But listen, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. I just was thinking about this week. In this America, right? Isn't it one of the two extremes? We've never even heard about the Holy Spirit. Woo! I don't know about you, but that was the landscape that I grew up looking at. It was either we've never even heard of it, or y'all are weird, right? Why is it? Paul's like, listen, you need to know about it. You need to practice it. Don't be weird, all right? It's not that difficult, and that's really what he's going to bring clarity to. And so he's speaking to the churches who are very well-versed in the gifts of the Spirit, but he's kind of reining them back in and like, all right, let's be wise in how we use the gifts of the Spirit. And so this is what he says. Listen to the clarity that he brings, starting in verse 2. "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols." Remember that, guys? "Well, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,'" okay? "And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Here's why he's saying this. Before they were all Christians, they used to worship idols, okay? People don't really worship idols in our culture. But he explains in other parts of Scripture, idol worship is demonic at its root, okay? You might think you're just worshiping, oh, the sun god. Let me say it this way for our culture. You might think it's just New Age. You might think it's just Hinduism. You might think it's just Buddha, right? It's demonic, okay? That's what it is. It's half-truth, especially like New Age, very positive. Oh, it's positive. It's all positive. Yeah, Satan knows how to masquerade as an angel of light and be all positive and weave in half-biblical truths to make it sound really good to get you to do it, right? Here's another one in our culture. I had kids in high school that practiced Wicca, right? Oh, it's white witchcraft. It's like being a good witch. It's demonic, all right? I'm just telling you, you mess around with that stuff, you are inviting demons into your life. You're swinging the door open and say, have fun with me. Mess with me, right? And then they make you all depressed and full of fear and you want to kill yourself and you don't even know why. And you have no clue it's because you mess around with this stuff over here. And you invited them in, all right? They're not going to let you know that's why, because they want to mess with you, all right? They want you to think you're doing good. Anyways, that's our culture. Their culture was idol worship. Now, here's the thing. People who worship idols, false religions and whatnot, they would do weird supernatural stuff too, right? So then the Christians have these supernatural experiences, and some of them seemed a little weird to people who weren't experiencing them, and they're going, well, geez, the idol worshipers are doing that stuff. Now the Christians are doing what kind of looks similar. maybe that's not of God, right? And there's all this confusion. And Paul's like, listen, you know how that used to be? Let me bring some clarity. If someone's saying Jesus be cursed, all right, I don't care what else they're saying, it's not God, okay? It's not the Holy, it might be a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit, okay? But then he says this, and this is a lot harder of a pill to swallow for American Christians. Let me clarify it this way, he says on the other end, nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And let me clarify this for us in our culture. It's really simple. First John talks about this too, how to test the spirits. If someone says Jesus is my Lord, all right, they're a Christian. Even if they're a little weird to you, even if they're of a different faith, let me say it this way, a different church denomination than you. If they're saying the Jesus Christ of the Bible is my Lord, they're a Christian, okay? And we need to receive this clarification from the Word of God, okay? What about false preachers and teachers and teaching and all that and Satan masquerading as an angel of light? Come back in a few weeks. I'll talk more on it and we'll clarify that. But we need to receive this, all right? Even if it's a little different than what you've experienced, if they're saying Jesus is my Lord, you need to give benefit of the doubt to the fact that they're a Christian, not benefit to the doubt that I need to have suspicion and assume they're of the devil, all right? You know, the most religious people of God in Jesus' day and age said Jesus was of the devil. You know why? The supernatural stuff he was doing. It freaked them out. It was weird. They'd never seen anybody do it. And then they said, oh, it's by the devil he's doing that stuff. Like, that's some dangerous territory. It's slander and it's gossip in the wider body of Christ, and it needs to stop. It is destroying what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our culture and in our generation. I'll talk more on that in a few weeks. Anyways, verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts. He's going to clarify some more. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Okay, so he's just talked about, listen, if somebody's saying Jesus is Lord, we got to assume they're a Christian. Now listen, there's different kinds of gifts, all right? At the end of the chapter, he's like, do all prophesy? Do all speak in tongues? Do all heal? Do all teach? No, okay? In other words, not everybody has all the gifts. This is God's way of forcing us to depend on one another, love each other, and work together. This is God's way of saying, you cannot accomplish the mission I've given you unless you work together. Because not everybody has all the gifts. You ever see like a parent, I love this, I've never had to do this with my kids yet, but you ever see a parent where the kids don't get along, say they're fighting about cleaning up the dishes, and they like get a big one of dad's t-shirts, and they put two kids in a t-shirt, and they got one arm, you know, one kid's got his left arm, the other kid's got their, and it's like, I will get along, you know, I'm going to love my brother and sister, and then they like make them clean up the kitchen or something, you know, in that situation, you know, it's like, you got to get along, you got to stop fighting, work together. It's like, the distribution of the gifts and not giving one person or everybody every gift, that's God's way of putting that t-shirt on us and going, y'all going to work together. All right, it's God's way of proving that love really is the means to its own end. And so he distributes the gifts. Now here's the tendency. Here's the tendency. And we do this in the natural and we do it in the supernatural gifts, okay? If you have certain gifts or talents or abilities and you see someone else who's like you and has the same gifts and talents and abilities as you, you know what your tendency is? Wow, now they got the Holy Spirit. Wow. Now that person, man, you know, I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. I have a gift of encouragement, you know, and that colors how I preach, right? And so on and so forth, right? I like music, you know? And so I see a preacher that likes music. He's got a gift of encouragement. He's a preacher teacher, you know, prophetic insight into the Word of God. And I'm like, man, now that's a Christian right there. Praise God. You know, that's amazing. And then somebody comes up and they're like, I lay my hands on people and they get healed. And I speak in other languages. Those are my gifts. And in my younger days, I'd be like, okay, that's nice. Cool. Good for you. Right? In other words, we the people who have similar giftings as us, we tend to identify. We go, oh, yeah, I get that. Why do you get that? Because you've experienced it. But the people who are different than you, the people who have different giftings than you, right? Those are the ones you tend to go, oh, I don't know about that. Why? Well, I've never experienced that. I'm not really sure that one is of God, right? And we do that in the natural. You walk into a room full of people like you and people who are very different, you're going to naturally gravitate to the people like you. Okay, I can trust these people. Okay, all right, we're the same, right? I'm telling you, I'm convinced this is the reason for a lot of division in the body of Christ. I'm convinced whole denominations have formed around gifting. And so we've got whole denominations that are high knowledge, Bible, this and that, you know, the Word of God. You know, we need to go down into the subtext of the Greek and we need to understand, and it's Bible, 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 Bible. And I'm convinced those things formed, those whole movements formed from leaders who had high knowledge gifts, who had high wisdom gifts, who had high teaching gifts, right? And then you've got, you know, the opposite end of the spectrum, the super charismatic. I'm convinced those are formed by leaders who have high healing gifts or high prophetic gifts, right? And then we form these camps, and then we shoot bullets at each other. Well, I don't really know about them over there. Right? I don't even know if that's God. Y'all can't trust. I mean, I'm not going to say they're a false preacher and teacher, even though I really think they are. But I'm not. I mean, maybe I'll say it. But, you know, and then they're over here going, well, you know, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And y'all don't even know the Holy Spirit, and we're better than you. And, you know, guys, we need each other. And our churches could be so much stronger if we'd tear the walls down and we'd believe in all the gifts and appreciate all the gifts, and we'd be humble enough to appreciate the ones especially that we don't have, or maybe the ones we're not as gifted in. And I'm telling you guys, this is so important. And so one of the reasons we're Resonance Church, I felt like resonance was a word God gave me, a name God gave me. And we didn't put any other thing on it, you know? And we didn't call it any, we didn't put any other name on our sign. Why? Because we're like, man, this is a church. We believe in Jesus, and I want Jesus to lead this church, the Holy Spirit to move and lead us, and for us to become the flavor and the expression of whatever God wants to do in this time and in this place and in our generation. Amen? Amen. And so that's why we are what we are. We want God to do what he does. We don't want to put God in a box. All right, and so we want to let him have his way. And so Paul's clarifying all that at the beginning, right? Because that's our tendency. And it's been going on since the book of Acts. Now he says this, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Everybody say, each one.
Each one.
Every single person is given a spiritual gift. I would say more likely every single believer in Jesus is given a gift mix. You probably don't have just one. You probably have several spiritual gifts. And I want to encourage you, whatever you're given at first, whoever's faithful with a little will be given more, right? He says at the end of the chapter, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, right? And he says the prophetic is one of the greatest gifts. By the way, prophetic, we think most typically, that word scares a lot of people. And we think most typically it's telling the future. Ooh, spooky, you know? It can mean that. It can. More generally in Scripture, the wider use is you're declaring the purposes of God in a time and place or in someone's life, okay? That's what prophetic means. Declaring the purposes of God in order to encourage people. That's the New Testament expression. And that's also says that explicitly in Scripture. And Paul says that's one of the greatest gifts that you could operate in is the prophetic. So declare it like the Holy Spirit gives you a word for, and like, wow, God wants you to focus on this because God's going to do this in your life. You know, and this time, prophetic teaching is, you know, there's a lot of information in the Bible, right? One of my jobs as a pastor is to sort through the Scriptures and go, what does God want us to focus on in this time and in this season? And I'm convinced one of the reasons God moves so awesomely in our church is that I land on a Scripture, and it's not just, well, we'll just do this today, you know? The Holy Spirit says, Aaron,
do this scripture at this time because it's going to speak to the most people and I'm going to do all kinds of stuff in people's lives.
And then you all say to me, man, it just seems like you have like an intercom or like a listening device in my bedroom because you know everything going on in my life. And I'm like, I don't know anything going on in your life, all right? That's called the Holy Spirit, all right? And he's orchestrating things. He's like the conductor of a great symphony. And if we would all just do what we're called to do, we wouldn't even know it, but we would see him just move in mighty, mighty, mighty ways because we're working together and we're all using our gifts, okay? And so, lost my train of thought there. I don't even know what I'm talking about. That wasn't in my notes. So there we go. Each one, yeah, y'all have spiritual gifts. There we go. So verse 8. Oh, yeah, here we go. We're going to go through the gifts. It lists the gifts here. There's two passages that list the gifts. This one is the main one. Romans 12 lists a few others. We're going to walk through those. I'm going to explain what the gifts are, what they mean. And so here's what I'm hoping happens as I go through this. The Holy Spirit's stirring in you, and you go, oh, I think I have that gift. I think that's me, right? That. Or eagerly desire the greater gifts. You might go, man, I've never experienced that. You can ask God, and he can help you experience that. And the scriptures talk about asking God for the Holy Spirit. And so I'll teach on that in a greater way in a few more weeks. But I want to encourage you in that. And so because we have the Holy Spirit as believers, we have the capacity to experience all the gifts. And I mean all the gifts. I mean, you might go, well, I'm not a teacher. I'll never preach or teach. Never say never. Because you know why? I'm convinced. At any time, God can go, you know what, that person, and by the way, this is my theory. I think when God looks for a leader, he looks for humility. And he finds someone humble. God can choose anybody at any time and go, you know what, they've never preached or taught. They don't have the gift. They would be terrible at it right now if they tried it. But they're really humble. I like them. I want people to have a humble heart. Most of all, I think that's God's heart, and that's true. And so he looks, and he just goes, boom, teaching gift. All of a sudden, you feel like you got something you want to share. Right? And you get up. That's what happened to me when I was out of college when it first happened to me. And I was journaling one day and it went from journaling personally into stuff about culture. And I got done writing. I had like 4 pages. I was like, people need to hear this, you know? Man, you may not be the best speaker, but if God gives you something that just burns in your heart, you're like, people need to hear this. Man, all of a sudden, you know, you can talk, you know, you got something to say. And so, anyways, you can experience greater gifts is all my point in saying that. And so let's go through the gifts. In verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. The gift of wisdom, it's acute knowledge in a broad range of life topics, morality, the ways of God, that enable you to make very good, wise, and prudent decisions. It's discernment as well, discernment in life situations, relationships, and decision-making that align with God's heart and God's word, right? You tend to drift towards these people when you think about Christians, you know, and you have a tough decision, you're like, man, who can I talk to that always has good advice, right? It's probably a gift of wisdom acting in them. This is really, I didn't know this until I read this, and I went, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's also interacting with people, it's wisdom in interacting with people who are not disciples of Christ, skill and discretion in imparting Christian truth to them, right? I'm convinced a lot of growing churches in America are led by leaders who have this supernatural gift of wisdom. We're not just going to show up and do church, right, in a way that benefits us. I'm going to be wise, and I'm going to think, man, if people show up who don't know Jesus, we're going to still do church. We're still going to talk about the same things. But how can we do it in a way that even people who don't know Jesus can at least understand if they've never been to church before, right? That's a spiritual gift of wisdom operating in leadership. And so that's the gift of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Most explicitly, knowledge means a deeper insight and understanding into God's word and God's heart, okay? So in other words, if you have a gift of knowledge, you read scripture and it's just all these synapses are firing and you're like, I know what this means, right? And there's so many people in our church like that and they come up to me and like, oh, you know, that's a great sermon. I was reading the other day and this, and God was like, man, this and that, and it means this. And I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. You know, that's knowledge. God's just dumping knowledge on you, right? That's what that means most explicitly. to another faith by the same Spirit. The gift of faith is, it's faith. It's like, man, I just believe God could do anything, right? Like your situation's bad, but man, you better get ready because I believe God can fix it. You know, with God, all things are possible. You know, that's faith. Like, we need to dream bigger. You know, that's faith. The gift of faith, believing God for the impossible, for mountains moved and for greater and greater things. Yes, that's the gift of faith. There we go. The gift of healing. The gift of healing. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. All Christians can pray and see God heal people, okay? And by the way, we can do that from afar. Jesus healed some people from afar. He wasn't even in the same region as them, you know? It's like, just say the word and my servant will be healed. And he says the word and they're healed. But there is something special about laying hands on people. And Jesus did that too. And there's many, many scriptures that talk about it. I believe every Christian can pray and see God heal people through faith, right? But what this is saying, not me, the Bible, what the Bible is saying is that apparently there's a gift, and if some Christians receive this gift, they can lay hands on people and pray for them. And hey, listen, they're just going to see God heal more people than the average Christian, right? That's what that means, a gift of healing, all right? To another, miraculous powers. This means a gift to do miracles, signs, and wonders, all right? Now, most of Jesus's miracles were healing miracles, all right? There's a type of healing that is like you're sick, you lay hands on them, you pray for them or whatever, and they get better. The sickness just gets better. There's another type of healing where a complete miracle, creative miracle, like you're missing an arm and like an arm appears. You know, that would be a miraculous, oh my goodness, you know? Like I heard one story one time of someone who didn't have an eye, they had a prosthetic eye, and they got prayed for in a church service, and they started having this pain and this weirdness in their eye that wasn't there, and it got so bad, you know, they finally took the prosthetic part out, and they had an eye, all right? That's a true story, right? And they could see out of that eye. Like, God, you're like, and you got an eye now, all right? Like, that's more miraculous type of thing. It's also Jesus turning water into wine, signs, wonders, miracles, okay? Apparently, that's a gift we can believe God for, all right? And listen, I know this is challenging to some of you. It's challenging to me. I'm like, man, that would be cool. It's important to note that the gifts are given not for you to feel good about yourself, although that is a benefit, right? They're given to build up the body of Christ and to help other people, all right? And so if you're thinking, oh, I can't wait to get a miraculous power gift so I can go around doing miracles. Woo! Woo! I'm awesome, miracle man, woo! Right? You're probably not going to get that gift, all right? If that's the posture of your heart, all right? But apparently it's a gift we can believe God for, you know? And so I'm just throwing that out there. To another, prophecy. Again, this is one that Paul highlights and says, this is one of the greatest gifts, guys. Declaring the purposes of God for a specific time and place or person. Could also be future telling or forthtelling. It could also be having supernatural knowledge of something that you had no way of knowing otherwise. That's what we would call prophetic words. Some churches or leaders call that a word of knowledge, and they use the previous gift of knowledge as that's what that is. I think it's actually just a prophetic word that God gives you. Knowledge, when you study that Greek word, it really means divine insight into God's word and deeper insight into what it means and all that stuff. Anyways, but that's the prophetic, okay? Declaring God's purposes over someone or over a season or over a time. At the beginning of this year, felt like God was like, it's time. Our core team was, that's like theme in our church. It's time for what? We don't know yet, but it's time for something. God wants to do something new, you know, reignite your faith and all these things. It's like a prophetic word for a season in our church, or it could be over a person. That's a very general one. Could be really, 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 really specific as well. And so that's the prophetic. So the next gift, to another, distinguishing between spirits. Distinguishing between spirits. That's, or another way of saying it, discerning spirits. And so this is not discernment as in just wisdom for decision making. This is discernment as in, is this of God or is this not of God? Right? And that could be like, you see people acting weird and you're like, is that a spiritual gift? You know, one of the weirder ones, or is that not a spiritual gift? You know, is that of God or is it not of God? I know someone that has a powerful gift of discerning of spirits is Kim Kirk, our spiritual health pastor. She's sitting right over there. Don't look at her and embarrass her. No, I'm just kidding. She's right there under the light. Okay. Anyways, she's our spiritual health pastor here at Resonance. And, you know, say, for example, really quickly, I used to struggle a lot with condemnation, right? When you're under condemnation, you want to do greater and greater things for God, but your motivation is, I don't want to go to hell. Right? If you're a Christian, you're not going to hell. Done. Settled. Right? Forget about it. Okay? Our motivation should always be love. Okay? And the enemy gets in there and just messes with you. And so I remember talking to Kim early on, like, oh, just, we got to do this, or, you know, and I couldn't even put it in. I would never say I feel like I'm going to go to hell, but it was like pressure, you know, and Kim would just be like, that doesn't sound like Jesus to me, you know, like not, and it was good things. We need to do this. We need, you know, but the motivations, you know, discerning motivations is really discerning of spirits a lot of times. So anyways, discerning of spirits, is it of God or not of God? To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. This is, speaking in tongues is a twofold gift. It's either an earthly language that someone speaks in public, and there's probably someone there who understands that, but, you know, the person speaking it does not, has never studied the language. It's a supernatural thing. I could tell you story after story that I've heard of this really happening in church services. And someone's there is like, wow, how do you know that language? I don't. I felt the Holy Spirit, so I started talking. And the person's like, oh my gosh, that's Greek, or that's some ancient Indian language, and I'm Indian, and, you know, like that type of stuff. Why does God do that? The whole purpose is to help people go, oh wow, God's real. Wow, wasn't that cool? Right? Why is that? So it's faith. It's like, God's real. This stuff's real. God's real. It's real. It's real. That's the whole purpose. Or it could be a personal prayer language. And Scripture says both. And Paul talks about this later on in Corinthians. If one prays in a tongue or in the Spirit, is another way he says, they edify themselves. But if they do that in church, nobody knows what they're talking about. Okay? People who have the gifts of tongues, you talk to them, and when they pray in tongues, they know something supernatural is going on. And so they just get really encouraged by it. They're like in this prayerful Holy Spirit space. And they helps them connect with God. And that's what that is for them, all right? And so that's what praying in tongues is. It's really nothing to be fearful of. It's a lot of churches speak against it, like, oh, that's not of God, and the Holy Spirit doesn't do that anymore. And they explain it away, and I just disagree with all of that. It's a beautiful thing, really. And so Paul just talks about being wise in the way that you operate in it, which, again, we'll talk about in a few weeks. But that's what it is. And so, still to another, the interpretation of tongues. So if somebody speaks in tongues in public, God gives an interpretation to someone else, again, so the whole church can be like, wow, God's real. Wow, this is amazing what God is doing, you know? And in my experience, the few times I've heard a tongue given and somebody interpret, there's also a prophetic nature to it, meaning like somebody's like, oh my gosh, like, it's not just like, wow, that was cool, but like, wow, that really spoke to me, the interpretation. And wow, God just spoke to my heart through that, you know, and so stuff like that. Verse 11 sums it up. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Okay, so those are some of the main gifts. And then in Romans 12, it lists a few others that are a little more self-explanatory. Romans 12 lists teaching as a spiritual gift, encouragement, or exhortation, giving. Okay, we all are called to give and be generous, but some people have a supernatural capacity to just want to be generous all the time. Leadership or administration, right? Leading, making decisions and whatnot. And then the last one listed is serving or acts of service, also called the gift of helps. Again, all of us are called to serve and have the servant heart of Jesus. But these people with this spiritual gift are like, I never want to be on a stage. And they just get so excited about doing all the behind-the-scenes stuff that helps everything else work and operate, okay? And so those are pretty much all of the spiritual gifts listed in Scripture. And so I hope as I went through those, I brought some clarity, but you also were like, man, that's me, or man, I really desire that gift. Some of you might have had the experience, oh, that's kind of spooky, that seems weird to me. Let me just say it this way, if it's of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus, is it a good thing? Yes, it is. These are nothing to fear, and that's where the enemy gets in there, in our fear and insecurity, and then we stay away from those things. We stay away from those people, those churches, right? And it's only to our own detriment. Because the more we operate in all the gifts, the stronger we are as a church. And I think even the more people we will reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I think it's a mistake to, when you have never experienced a gift, this is a mistake a lot of people in churches make, is to look at Scripture and bring Scripture down to your level of experience. Instead of, well, it's in Scripture. Apparently, I haven't experienced something that is possible. And bringing your experience up to the level of Scripture. And there's whole denominations that have formed around, well, we've never experienced this, so let's explain it away, and here's why it doesn't happen anymore. Which, by the way, there's absolutely zero scriptural evidence for. And if it's called cessationism, the gifts, the Spirit did all that in the beginning, but he doesn't do that anymore, because now we have the whole Bible. Except the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Okay, that's the only problem with it, which is a big problem. And so if you want more info on that, email me or come talk to me later and we can talk about that. I grew up in churches that leaned that way, okay? And so I get it. And anyways, it's really important because if you don't believe for it, you'll never try it. And if you never try it, you'll never experience it. As a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, which means you have the capacity to do these things. And some of you have, God's like giving you the gift. You got the gift. But think about it. If you have virtuoso piano talent inside of you, but you've never touched a piano, are you even aware that there's a virtuoso piano player inside of you? No. How do you know? You got to try it. Some of you are like, oh, I tried to play piano, and let me assure you, there is not a virtuoso piano player, all right? I'm terrible, right? But we've all seen those people, and we know, like, there is just a natural gifting for that. Like, wow, you touch a piano, it's like, woo! And listen, spiritual gifts are the same way. So many of you have amazing spiritual gifts, and you're totally unaware of it because you never even tried it. You gotta try it. John Wimber said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Take a risk. See what happens. That's why the Bible says test the spirits. Why would we need to test them unless it's a little unclear sometimes, and unless we got to try it out? We got to see. I think this might be God. The only way you'll ever know is if you try it, or if you say it, or if you do what you think he might be leading you to. That's the only way you'll ever know. Ever. I'm telling you, that's how it works. Test the spirits. We'll talk about that more in a few weeks. Let me sum it up this way. Do what 2 Timothy says. Paul's writing to his protege, Timothy, and he says this. For this reason, because I know you have sincere faith. That's what he's talking about. Because I know you have sincere faith. You're a true believer in Jesus. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. He says, fan into flame the gift of God. The word there in the Greek, do you know what it means? It means kindle anew, to rekindle the flame of the Holy Spirit inside of you. To kindle anew. You ever have a campfire that's dying out? It's got down to embers. You pull a few little twigs and stuff on there. You get down and what do? You blow on it. That breath, that oxygen helps it kindle up again and become a fire again. It's interesting, the word for Holy Spirit in both Hebrew and Greek, both words, different words in different languages, but they both mean the breath of God, a blast of breath, a wind, to kindle anew, to blow on what God's put inside of you. He says in 1 Timothy, be diligent in these matters. And he's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Be diligent. And pressing it, blown. You know what happens when you come in church and the worship team is playing a song and you get all stirred up and you're like, oh, Jesus loves me so much. You know what the Holy Spirit's doing? You know what happens when I preach or somebody else preaches or you hear a good sermon online and speaks right to you? You're like, oh my goodness, oh, you know. And like, you know what the Holy Spirit's doing? He's kindling you up. He kindles you up because he wants you to do something with what he's given you. It's an investment he's put in you, not to just make you feel good. You feel good, you get confident in God. That's the but it's so you're confident so you can go out and use your gifts to love and serve other people. And so I just want to close today by giving you an opportunity to open up and ask God to just blow on the coals of your heart, to blow on that gift of that Holy Spirit and stir it up in you. And so we're going to close. I'm going to pray for you. And if you would just stand up with me. And if you want to participate in this prayer, as I'm praying, I'm just going to ask you to hold out your hands like this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of pray through that list of spiritual gifts that I read. And again, if God was stirring your heart on one and you're like, maybe, oh, I have this gift, then ask God for this gift, but with the sense in your mind that, like, show me how to use it. You know, show me what to do with this. But maybe there's some gifts there. You're like, man, I've never experienced that, but I want to. God, I want to see what this is all about, you know. And if that's you, if there's a gift you've never experienced, just ask God for that as we go through these. So let me go through these, and we're just going to pray right now. And I'll have you repeat after me, and then I'll just pray a blessing over you, over each gift. So let's do this, okay? Holy Spirit, right now, I just ask you to come. Just fill this place. Touch people's hearts, minds, souls, wills, emotions. God, breathe on the coals of our hearts. Breathe on us today, right now, Jesus. Stir up these gifts in our church and pour them out in a greater way. And so right now, the gift of wisdom, if that's a gift that you want more of or you feel like you have but you want to use it more, just repeat after me. Say, dear God, give me the gift of wisdom. Amen. Let me pray over you. God, give us wisdom by your Holy Spirit, the ability to make wise decisions. And how to interact with unbelievers to help them come to know you. To be wise in how we act towards them. To show them the love of Jesus. The gift of knowledge. More insight into God's word and God's heart. If that's you, just say, God, give me the gift of knowledge. Right now, just say it out loud. Jesus, give me the gift of knowledge. Thank you, Jesus. The gift of faith. God, increase our faith. Your disciples said that to you, Jesus. Increase our faith. If you want more faith in your life right now, believe God for greater things. Maybe an impossible situation. Ask God to give you faith right now. Say, Jesus, give me the gift of faith. Amen. The gift of healing. One that, I'll be honest, is so needed. There's so many people hurting physically, spiritually, emotionally, even mentally right now in our church, in the community, just right around us, let alone the world. That we could, by the power of Jesus, bring healing to people. That they would know God loves them. If that's you, just say, God, give me that gift of healing. God, give me that gift of healing. Jesus, move, pour it out. The gift of miracles, that we would see God do signs and wonders that cause us all to be more in awe of Jesus and to bring more people to faith in Christ, to show the world God is living and active among us, just like the book of Acts. If you desire to see that in this generation, just say, God, give me the gift of miracles. God, give me the gift of miracles. God, pour it out in our church, pour it out in our people. The gift of prophecy, that you could hear God speak to you in a greater way to encourage the people around you, not just with nice, encouraging things, but literally with God's thoughts towards them and God's heart towards them, to speak what is to come. If you desire that, just say, God, give me the gift of prophecy. God, give me the gift of prophecy. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Pour it out in our church. The gift of discerning of spirits, because we know whenever we press into these things, the enemy's going to come and try to counterfeit and cause confusion and division. And so we need to discern. We need greater discernment in our hearts to know what motivates us and whether it's of God or not. And so, God, we just ask for that discerning of spirits. If that's you right now, just say, God, help me. Give me that gift of discernment. Give me the gift of discernment right now. Jesus, pour it out in our church. The gift of tongues, speaking in special prayer language or even a word for our church. If that's something you desire or something that God wants to do and you're feeling stirred towards that, let me say it this way. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's stirring you to ask for it and you may not desire it. But man, if it's God, just ask for it. And so God, pour out the gift of tongues. Just ask God for that. God, help me speak in tongues right now, Jesus, in your name. Just pour out this gift. And of course, the interpretation of tongues, God, when you speak in our church, that you would help us interpret so the whole church could be encouraged, God. Show us a time and place and space to be able to share those things in a fitting and orderly way. But if that's something you desire, God, just give me that gift of the interpretation of tongues. Yes, Lord. Leadership, usually not one people desire, but if you do, or you see a need, just ask God to pour it out. God, give us gifts of leadership. Mercy, one I forgot to mention. God, give us more mercy for one another. Pour it out in this church. Just say it out loud if you want to receive that in a greater way. Encouragement, so important. God, help us to encourage one another in you, Jesus. Give us greater gifts of encouragement. And acts of service. Acts of service. God, give us all a heart to serve as Jesus served. We know the greatest among us is the servant of all. But God, just stir up acts of service. We're a growing church. We always need help with more and more things to do greater and greater things for your kingdom. So just stir up greater acts of service. Just ask God for those gifts. In Jesus' name, we ask for all these things in greater and greater ways. And of course, God, it goes without being said, but I'm going to say it anyway. Jesus, we want you, the one true Jesus, the Holy Spirit of the Most High God. We want all that's of you, and we want all you have to offer, and we want nothing that's not of you, any counterfeit spirit. We just renounce and reject in Jesus' name right now. And so we've prayed that. We don't need to fear it. And we know, God, whatever you want to pour out, that you'll do, and we receive it now. In your name, Jesus, we love you. Amen.